Reformed Church.
You know, today actually what I wanted to share with you is something that, you know, Pastor Jose is actually going to mention something later today in service, and it revolves around giving, but this is actually purely coincidental that I'm sharing what I'm sharing right now. I actually had this prepared for about 3 weeks, and I just haven't got a chance to share it yet. So I just want to throw that out there, because this, as it is already, you know, could, for some people, sharing this sort of at church might feel weird, sharing this about giving at church, regardless. And then on a day when Pastor Jose is going to share something about giving later on, like I said, I just wanted to make sure that we know that, not that you guys are necessarily doubting our motivations here, but like, that is actually totally coincidental. It just so happened today's my first chance to share this, because again, what I want to share is about giving. And something, though, that I think at this church, because we know that tithing, and this is going to sound very controversial to people if you're listening to this online, but tithing is actually an Old Testament thing, that God doesn't make any distinction between a tithe or a burnt offering or a free will offering or you know, like any of these sort of voluntary offerings in the Bible. The Bible doesn't make a distinction between tithes and all those other things, or between tithe and, you know, circumcision and all that stuff. These are Old Testament realities, and some of which, circumcision, burnt offerings, and tithing, were all practiced before the law as well, but they were always meant to be a symbol of Jesus. We have material online to actually show you that and prove that to you under our giving and tithing sort of section on Reform U. So I would encourage you to listen to that if you're not familiar with this. But because I know that if you've come to the church for a while, you already are very familiar with that whole concept, right? Tithing is not something that is a New Testament practice. And what do I mean by that? I don't mean that giving at church isn't a New Testament practice, or that giving in general, even to one another, or giving toward, you know, people that have needs, that's not a New Testament practice. I just mean the prescribed percentage, and on top of that, a prescribed percentage by which you're going to be blessed by God, which, like in Malachi, which it talks about, that is not a new covenant thing. But even if we were to sort of scrape off the top that concept of being blessed by your giving, right, and put that to the side right now, even just talking about a prescribed percentage in general is actually not a New Testament thing. Again, tithing is actually a symbol of worship and thanksgiving, and again, we have stuff like that both on Reform U and also on our glossary. We have reformchurch.com/glossary, we have a symbolic word definition there for burnt offerings and tithes. So that's all good information, but assuming that you kind of know that already at this church, what I want to talk about is what is right to give, okay? And I want you to hear my heart in this, because I want to teach this because I want to teach it. I'm not sure, there's nothing subliminal going on here. I just, you know, the Bible says that we should not shun, we should not, you know, avoid declaring all the counsel of God. And sometimes, if you're talking about giving, and you or even giving to the gospel, and you happen to be a church, it's like, are we not supposed to talk about giving just because of the appearance that, like, you know, we don't want anyone to think that we're trying, this is like a ploy to get someone to give more at this church, or, you know, again, it is free will giving. But you know what, though? I'm sure this is probably more of a concern on my mind than anybody else's, you know, that's necessarily listening, but this is not that kind of ploy. This is just, you know what, I'm not going to rob anyone of the information regarding what I want to talk about today, which is, how much do you give? How much is correct to give? Ultimately, because it's free will, there isn't a prescribed amount that you give to the gospel or anywhere else, right? It's not under compulsion. There's not a prescribed amount. But I think for a lot of people that say, but I want to be generous, so like, what does that look like, right? I think that taking away that 10% figure by, at this church, teaching that tithe is an Old Testament thing sort of leaves us, well, we don't have that prescribed percentage that most of the church has today, right? So what does generous giving look like? Not just to the gospel, but just in general, right? Again, there are other godly uses for our giving than just giving toward the gospel. In my opinion, giving toward the gospel is the highest priority for voluntary giving. Because the gospel is the thing that everything else trickles down from. It starts with the gospel. So that to me is the highest priority to give to. But let me just start out with how frequently should I give? Like, because even though we're not under a law and we're not under rules of giving that say you have to give this much and give it this way, we're not under those rules. We know though, right, that we're not under any rules for our actions in the new covenant except to put faith in Jesus, right, the law of faith. Well, despite the fact that we're not under the rules of the Old Testament law anymore, we still do serve in newness of the Spirit. There is still right and wrong, right? For instance, we're not under thou shalt not murder, but we know that murder is still wrong and loving our neighbor is right, right? There's still right and wrong despite the fact that we're not under those rules anymore. The Holy Spirit lives these things out through us. And so there is a right and a wrong way to give, right? Like, it just because we're not under a rule doesn't mean there's not a right way to give or a wrong way to give. So let me just open up by how frequently should you give? How frequently is correct to give? If you're to ask me, based on my impression off of Scripture, it would be whenever you increase. If you increase, then allow the places you give to increase. And again, as I go through this, I'm not even talking about this church. Again, you give wherever you receive, of course, from the gospel, but I'm just talking about giving generally, right? I would hope that even anyone, even listening online, if they don't come to this church, that they take these things and put these things into practice. How frequently should we give? Whenever you increase. If you increase, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:2, it just says that he actually told them when they were giving to the saints, he said to lay up in store on a particular day of the week. He was talking about making a collection, but he said that the word he used here, he says, as God has prospered him. Okay? As each one is prospered, therefore, that's why people give different amounts, because we're prospered financially in different amounts. So that's to be understood, but he says, as God has prospered him. So in the future with my kids, that's how they will be taught to give. Is if you increase, if you get an allowance, then you give out of the allowance. If you give, if you're increased in any way, if you come into increase, you allow the places you give to increase as well. So that to me is a right way to give, right? Again, it's not a law, it's not a rule, and it's not something you're going to be blessed by or not. But as far as correct ways to give, that's one thing as far as frequency. When you're increased, you give out of that increase. You allow every place that you give to increase when you increase, right? I think that's a right way to give. But regarding how much do I give? How much is generous to give? Well, I just want to just state that, as I said before, there's no tithe in the New Testament, right? Like, it's not called, when you give at church, which is a New Testament thing, it's not called a tithe. But 10% also, I just want to also state this, that it's not an evil number. 10 is not an evil number. I think it is correct, because we give as we're prospered, that, of course, if you have a regular amount you give, you are giving a percentage of your increase, right? I mean, any amount you give is going to be a percentage of your increase. With that said, when you give out of your increase, that's going to be a percentage, right? And if it happens, for instance, to be 10%, it's not because 10 is an evil number. In fact, the way that I would train my kids to give when I have kids, I'm probably going to tell them to give 10% of their increase. Not because of a tithe, not because they're going to be blessed by it or anything like that, but that is how I will train my kids to do so. But that's actually how I would train my kids to give, is to give out of their increase and to give 10%, but not because of tithe, not because they're going to be blessed by it or anything like that. But actually, even when the Bible prescribed the tithe in the Old Testament, which, like I said, is an Old Testament thing, not a New Testament thing, if you look at the purpose for which the tithe was actually put in place, it was to support the Levites who didn't get a paycheck. They were the ministers of Israel, and when they tithed, it was to actually be pay for those that ministered to them. And God said, well, okay, if they don't get a paycheck, then I'm going to have the rest of the tribes give 10% to contribute to their work so they can do this particular work. So, again, not because tithe is a New Testament thing, but just out of seeing that practice, that God thought it would be reasonable that 10% was the amount that they gave to the Levites, that's why I would train my kids to say, you know what? When you increase, as God has prospered you, then you'll give 10% of that. In the church today, we practice 10% because we think that's the prescribed amount. We feel that that is the, that we call it a tithe, and we also teach people that they're going to be blessed by it. So I'm not saying for any of those reasons, but 10% to me, as far as a training tool, that's a metric that I would go by with my kids simply because of I see that's how the Levites were supported and what God thought was reasonable to give for the ministering of those who ministered to them. So that kind of makes sense. I would go off of that. I do want to emphasize that this is not a rule. It is not. Most churches teach that 10% is the rule. That's what you give. 10% of your increase, they call it the first fruits. They have a lot of Old Testament ways of describing it, but that's not a rule. I just am presenting that because I believe that's a reasonable metric for instance, training your kids on what to give. I think it's a reasonable metric because it's a metric that God used to support ministers. So that's why I would use that, 10%. The other thing that I just want to mention very, very briefly is for someone that says, okay, I want to give, right? And as I stated before, this is something that when I share, I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about giving where you give. We should give where we receive the word of God, but I'm not talking about this church. I'm saying wherever that is. I would want anyone to practice this anywhere. When you're giving, if someone says, okay, I want to be generous, what does generous look like? Because we know, again, 10% is a metric that I'm just presenting that is what God used in the past. But if that's not really a rule, well, then what does generous giving look like? Well, that's going to look a little bit different to different people. And I'm talking about giving generously anywhere, not just at church. I'm talking about giving generously to your fellow believer when you see a need. But what does, when I look at my increase or my bank statement, and I say my giving proportional to what I make, what is generosity? What is sort of the outflow of my generosity? What does that look like in a figure? I can't give you an amount to tell you, if you give this, then you're being generous. If you give this, then you're not being generous. But what I can tell you is this, and I'll sort of stop with this. This may sound like an over-practical way of looking at it, but in like when we were talking about the power to wealth and stuff, I had talked to you about budgeting and kind of like how that fits in with things. One thing that we went over briefly was that if we're dealing with our finances just responsibly, even apart from giving, you can't actually say you're dealing with your finances responsibly unless you know where your money's going, right? If I don't know what I'm spending money on, for instance, throughout a month, I could ask you, do you spend your money responsibly? Almost everybody's going to say yes. But if you don't budget, for instance, right, if you don't actually have a calculation of where your money's going each month, you would never know for sure if you were spending money responsibly. In fact, from my experience, when you start budgeting, you're going to find, wow, I didn't realize that I have this big chunk of money, and you're going to start asking, where is that going? And then when you start looking at where it went through the month, you're going to realize how much really did get spent and where it went. And I guarantee you'll be surprised at where your money goes, because you can't actually know, am I spending this responsibly, unless you know where it's being spent, right? But this is the similarity with generosity. We don't know. It would be impossible for us to know where our financial priorities are and whether we're being generous or not without budgeting. It sounds like an overly simplified way of saying this and overly practical, but it's actually perfectly true. If I don't know what percentage of my income, and not just my income, but like after all my necessities are paid for, and I pay for the mortgage, and I pay for the electric bill, and I pay for oil, or whatever it is I'm paying for, right? After that's paid for, my necessities, we probably all have a lump sum after that, right? That gets spent in other ways. If I don't even know where that money's going, or what percentage of that money is actually going toward giving to whatever I want to give to, how can I know if I'm being generous? I can't know that. I'm giving something that I feel like giving. But how do I actually know if proportionally, because when you budget, you'll be able to see exactly, you know what, I'm spending this much on Netflix, I'm spending this much on this thing, this much on vacation, this much on this, and then here's how much I'm giving. And when you see them compared to each other, and you see how much I'm spending on entertainment, how much I'm spending on necessities, how much I'm spending on giving. And when you can compare that, you know, amongst each other, that's the only way for you to be able to gauge whether you're being generous or not. And again, no one can tell you, oh, well, you have to give this much to be generous. But I can tell you this, right? And I'll sort of close with this. You will be shocked where your money goes when you actually look at where it's going, first of all, because you spend money mindlessly. And that's why you can't know if you're being responsible, but you also can't know if you're being generous. And because there's no prescribed amount to give, I think that most of us would be shocked, though, to see, okay, this is my increase every month. And apart from necessities, here's how much I spend mindlessly, and here's how much I spend on giving. I think most people, this is not about this church, this is just about giving, right? It's a teaching on giving. Most of us would be shocked at how little sometimes the giving is compared to what we spend on other things. And that, to me, is because there's no set amount, that can only be gauged by you. You'd have to look at that and say, okay, you know what? Does this reflect my priorities? Because, you know, a lot of us have priorities in our mind. Your first priority with your finance should be your household, right? Take care of your household. Apart from that, though, you would have to figure out your own priorities. But I think a lot of times we have priorities in our mind, and we say, okay, here's my value system with my finances. I would value as a priority taking care of my household first. That's a good priority. And then you have to answer for yourself. What are my other priorities? Like, don't budget yet, right? Just look, what are my other priorities in my mind that I say are of utmost importance to my finances? Okay, so then you figure that out. Then you budget, and you say, okay, are those priorities reflected in the way that I spend my money? That's all I'm saying. I'm saying that you won't know. You cannot know, impossible to know, if your, in your mind, your financial priorities are actually being reflected in your finances unless you know what you're spending money on. That's all that I'm saying. Budgeting is a fancy way of saying knowing where your money's going. If you don't know where your money's going, you may think that it's oh yeah, I have priorities. I have financial priorities. And these are those priorities, whatever they are to you, right? These are them, okay? Make a list of your financial priorities. Make a list from top to bottom. Then when you go to budget, you can say, okay, does that reflect those things? And you'll see, you'll certainly see whether it matches up or whether it doesn't match up. But when it comes to generosity, if someone were to ask me, how can I be generous? And when do I know when I'm being generous? I can't tell you that amount, but I can tell you that you won't know that unless you budget. That's what I can tell you. And again, that may sound overly simplified, but I think that's a super, super important thing, is that I understand all of us have priorities in our mind. And that may vary. A lot of us have good priorities in our mind. My only thing is, you can't know if they're being reflected in your finances unless you can actually see your finances laid out before you.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.